It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Rob Ferret. Later in the hour, we will take a look at President Barack Obama's push for new fuel standards for heavy-duty vehicles.
First, social media. For parents today, it's a new world that comes without instructions. From boardrooms to battlefields, everywhere you look, people are talking about social media. But the jury is still out on exactly how social media affects us and who's on the winning side of the social media equation.
Teens are key players in the world of new media. They grew up with it and intuitively understand the currency of likes, follows, friends, and pins. A new Frontline documentary that airs tonight on local PBS stations has branded these teens Generation Like.
The documentary explores how, in the pursuit of internet attention, teens are actually used by marketers and advertisers to sell products, from Oreos to movies to makeup. Generation Like airs tonight on local PBS stations. Here's a clip.
More than any generation before them, today's teens can speak directly to the artists, celebrities, and brands they like. And sometimes, they get a reply.
A couple of the other actors and actresses from the first movie have noticed me. Jack Quaid, who played Marvel from District 1, he was like my favorite actor. I don't know why, but I just became super obsessed with him. So I was like tweeting him, like, my only goal anymore is to get you to tweet me back. And he tweeted me like, oh, go check it off your list. Now go save the world and hurry. So that was really, really cool for me.
Does that motivate you to share things in the hopes of them kind of noticing?
Yeah, I mean, I've tweeted them a bunch of times, like hoping they'll retweet me and stuff. Because it's really cool, like, them noticing you. The Hunger Games official Twitter, they retweeted me and I gained like 60, 70 followers. It's kind of, you know, self-empowering to know that, like, oh, I'm one of like top fans on their website.
And we're joined now by Frank Kuehn. He's a journalist and documentary filmmaker for Left Right TV. His work has appeared on PBS, CBS, and the History Channel. He most recently produced Generation Like, which will air tonight at 9 o'clock on your PBS station. Frank, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks very much for having me.
So let's talk about that clip a little bit. Clearly, the teenage girl in question, who's obsessed with the Hunger Games, feels empowered by social media, like she is a part of the action, and she's a little bit famous herself. Is that the appeal for teens?
Oh, absolutely. You know, social media is an area where teenagers' interests and the interests of companies that wish to market to teenagers are really very closely aligned. I mean, she understands her role in sort of the marketing campaign of The Hunger Games. It's not as if she's being unwittingly taken advantage of. She just feels she gets something out of it, too. So she's happy to do it. So she spends hours and hours every day retweeting and liking and sharing and generally promoting, you know, content that is assembled by Lionsgate Movie Studios for a franchise that has earned $1.5 billion so far. And in exchange, you know, she gets the credibility amongst the her social peer group of Hunger Games fanatics.
How common is her story among the teenagers that you spoke with?
To a degree, her story is extremely common. She's a slightly extreme example, only because, you know, she has taken it to such heights. But on a smaller scale, every day, this sort of thing is playing out with teenagers around the country. Kids want attention. Kids want to be liked. And kids are trying to forge their own identities as they're growing up. And they're doing it in a way that's not radically different than, you know, when I was a kid in, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, you know, you would put posters on your bedroom wall, you would wear T-shirts of the brands that you affiliated with or the bands that you liked. You know, doing the same on your Facebook wall is not that much different, except that the Facebook wall faces outward to the world at large, as opposed to your bedroom wall, which was seen only by yourself and your friends that came over.
Now, you talk about the example of, you know, T-shirts or posters on your wall. Those things generally didn't have an audience of more than a handful of people, you know, maybe a few friends who came over to your house. Now we're talking about teenagers who have millions of followers, and it becomes sort of a cottage industry for them, and as you said, an advertising tool for the media itself, for people selling products and movies and entertainment. Isn't there a big difference between that and what we're seeing now?
Well, there is, but it's a difference of scale, you know, and it's a difference of scale that is empowered by this technology that allows that. I'm sure if companies could have broadcast, you know, used individual kids to broadcast their messages to hundreds or thousands or even millions of their peers, you know, in decades past, they would have. But you know, the technology simply didn't exist. Well, now it does. And companies have been very savvy in figuring this out and figuring out how to take advantage of it.
So how do they take advantage of it? How does it turn from, you know, just kids sharing stuff on the internet and social media into money?
Well, they take advantage of it by simply taking advantage of the natural teenage impulses, which is, you know, kids want popularity, kids want recognition, and kids have always wanted to interact with their culture, you know, and by their culture I mean, you know, the celebrities that they like, the TV shows, the movies, the brands, the sports teams, you name it. You know, kids have always wanted to reach out and be a part of that world. What social media does is it allows the youth culture industry, for lack of a better word, to create the illusion that kids can, in fact, be a part of it. You know, because it is interactive. In the clip you just played, the young girl who has interacted with actors from the Hunger Games movies. You know, this didn't happen with the Star Wars movies when I was a kid. You know, and if it did, I would have been absolutely starstruck the same way she is. So, you know, again, it's not a radically different impulse. It's that companies now have the ability to take advantage of it, to offer kids this fame by association in a way.
Well, I guess the question is, do you think that teenagers know how the data they're creating is being used? And do you think if they really understood it, that they would care, or they do care?
Teens don't understand how the data is being used. And the truth is that's because adults don't either. And in many cases, the reason for that is that we simply don't know how it is going to be used. The data is simply being created. You know, I think if you talk to people in the data gathering, you know, industries, they will say that they don't quite know what the future holds, but this data is there. So kids are not naive in the sense that they're not aware that this is going on, but they don't understand really what the data is going to be used for. And so to a certain extent, they don't really care because they've sort of grown up in this universe. You know, it's not like people our age who sort of approach the internet and it's something kind of new because I didn't have a computer till I was 25 years old, you know. And you know, so there's a wariness there. You know, these kids were born into houses that, you know, were online.
Well, let's look at another example from the Frontline documentary, Generation Like. A guy named Tyler Oakley, he has become famous on YouTube, and one of the things he does is he sort of shills products that he likes. I wonder if you could walk us through his story and how what he does has gone viral and is being used.
Sure.
And I was so happy I started getting views, which I didn't think was going to happen.
I'm sorry, we played the clip there, and I was actually wanting you to answer the question. We'll get to that. That's a different teen named Danielle
That's
Diaz.
A different one.
Right. But if you could tell us about Tyler.
Tyler Oakley is a person who I've never heard of before we started working on this documentary. But we actually met him at a marketing seminar in Los Angeles, and I was intrigued by the fact that a kid I had never heard of was lecturing to a room of corporate executives and brand managers who were all paying substantially for the privilege to hear him talk. Tyler's, I believe, 24 years old, and a few years ago, as a student at Michigan State University, he simply started talking on YouTube, making little YouTube videos as a way of keeping in touch with his friends. And he did it pretty consistently and persistently, and he's quite good at it. He's just a very engaging, very likable guy. And as happens in the world of social media, his audience grew beyond his small circle of immediate friends. He recalls the day where he suddenly noticed that 100 people had watched a video, and he said, "I don't have 100 friends." And he has kept doing it, and it is somehow, to his own surprise, turned into a career. Tyler is, sometime in the next few days, because his subscribership keeps growing, going to pass the 4 million mark, meaning he has a regular audience of 4 million people for his little YouTube videos. That is bigger than the audience for Frontline. We worked a year on this.
Wow.
4 million people aren't going to see it, but 4 million people will see Tyler's next YouTube video.
That puts it in perspective, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking right now with Frank Kuehn. He's a journalist and documentary filmmaker for Left Right TV. His work has appeared on PBS, CBS, True TV, and the History Channel. We're talking about the new Frontline documentary called Generation Like, which airs tonight at 9 o'clock on your local PBS station.
And we'd like to hear your thoughts. Do you think that social media users should be more aware of how advertisers use the data they create? Do you think that this new kind of advertising is a positive or negative influence? Are you a teen or a parent? What restrictions do you have on social media? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're back now with Frank Kuehn talking about his documentary Generation Like, which explores how advertisers use teens through social media to promote their products.
And we'd like to hear your thoughts. Are you a parent? Do you know what your teen is up to on social media? Are you concerned at all about the way in which social media data are used? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org.
And Frank, I want to go back and talk about Tyler and the lesson there, which we were talking about before the break. You said he has more likes and more views than Frontline does. Does that translate, do you think, to power? Or, I mean, I guess in the balance of power, does something like Frontline, an established product, does it still have more power? How does that sort of play out?
Well, it depends what you're looking for. If I'm a company or a brand that wants to reach people in the demographic of Tyler Oakley's audience, which is predominantly girls, you know, between the ages of 12 and 14, then, you know, I see a kid like that who's got, you know, an audience 4 million strong, you know, and that's just on YouTube, never mind his Tumblr and Twitter and Facebook presence and all of that. That's far more appealing to me than Frontline would be. You know, it's slightly an apples and oranges comparison. You know, the point is that someone like Tyler Oakley certainly is important and influential within the world, you know, in which he exists, and companies and brands recognize that and they reward that.
Now, among certain generations, I'm thinking of the boomers, you know, I'm certainly familiar with the term, I'm not a boomer, but we might have seen something like this as selling out. You created an artistic product, in this case, you know, a video or something, and then you end up taking money and kind of dancing to the tune of an advertiser. Do these kids, do you think, do they care about that?
Not in the slightest. In fact, it was one of the more eye-opening things for us in making the film. Is we discover that in many cases, kids literally don't understand what the term means. You ask them whether they consider something to be selling out or what selling out means to them, and you get blank stares. It's not part of their vocabulary anymore. And I think part of it is that, you know, the millennial generation has grown up in a very different economy than us older folks did. You know, if I were graduating from high school or college in 2008, you know, I would not be too much of a purist about selling out, because, you know, the the economic obstacles that they're facing are much greater than, you know, we did 20 or 30 years ago. But also, they were just raised in this world of marketing and advertising. It's not something that is alien or even offensive to them.
And let's listen to another voice from the documentary, Danielle Diaz. She's an eighth grader who uses social media to share her music. Let's listen to a clip.
And I was so happy. I started getting views, which I didn't think was going to happen. So it kind of blew me away.
More people than you knew in real life.
Yeah.
And then how does it feel when you see, oh my gosh, another 100 people have viewed this thing?
It feels overwhelming. It's unbelievable.
And then the videos changed from just music to...
Just singing anymore. I like interacting with my fans.
It's funny to say it, though.
Yeah. It tingles.
Well, because it's new? But do you feel it's true, though? I mean...
Well, I've had comments on there saying, wow, Daniela, you're my idol. I'm your biggest fan. That was the first time I was exposed to the word fan. So I guess I can say I have one fan.
Interesting clip there from Danielle Diaz, who, you know, we said she uses social media to share her music, and she's gotten fans from what she does. And I guess a couple questions from there, you know, is this, do you think, an outgrowth of what has been called our celebrity-obsessed culture? Is this the sort of natural outgrowth of that and then the subsequent commodification of it?
Oh, and without a doubt. And, you know, the desire to be famous is not something that is new or exclusive to this generation. You know, I mean, my grandparents, you know, worship movie stars. But the, you know, it used to be you had to go to Hollywood to get famous. You know, you had to be discovered in Schwab's drugstore or whatever the legend is. You know, these kids have grown up in the world where, you know, all their lives, American Idol has been on television, you know. So the idea that you can be sort of plucked from obscurity and you know, presented to the world and become famous that way is to them not an unreasonable assumption. And so, you know, marketers and branders are able to play on that, you know, and kids willingly give into it because they genuinely believe it's true.
I guess, you know, the temptation is if you're not of this generation, you're not one of these teenagers who's on YouTube or someone like Danielle Diaz, the temptation is to look at it and to be sort of shocked at the new media landscape and to wonder if this is somehow unethical, if these teenagers are being exploited. Is there anything wrong with it, or is that just the way it is today?
Oh, well, I mean, that's the thing. It is just the way it is today. You know, it's we tried very hard in this film not to pass any sort of a value judgment on social media or on the kids that engage with it, because the truth is it's here and it's here to stay. You know, regardless of what the platform du jour is, you know, Facebook is big right now. Will it still be here in 10 years? Who knows? But it doesn't matter because something will take its place. And it's this interactivity that is, you know, what changes the game more than any particular venue of social media. And that's not going to go away ever. So, yeah, this is sort of the water that the fish swim in now, you know, and we just wanted to sort of point out what the water is like.
And the companies, are they upfront about their social media strategies, do you think? Are they transparent?
You know, the word transparent is one that came up constantly while making this documentary, but so many companies didn't want to talk to us about their strategies. It's not something that although all companies are to some extent engaging in it now, some more successfully than others, it's not something that a lot of them want to talk about. Interestingly, the kind of companies that were most receptive to talking to us were the actual marketing and social media advertising firms themselves, sort of the middlemen between brands and kids, because for them this is an enormously exciting time in their industry. They couldn't be happier to talk about it and explain how they do things, you know, which I think works to our advantage in the documentary. But the real powers behind it, the Facebooks of the world or Pepsi or, you know, these multi-billion dollar companies, MTV, you know, they didn't want to talk to us at all.
Well, Frank, in our last 30 seconds here, any predictions about where this could head next?
Well, that's almost impossible to foresee, because if you had asked me 10 years ago about social media, I wouldn't have had any idea what you were talking about, you know. So something will come along and change the game even further. But, you know, what I think we can all be sure of is it's never going to go back to the way it was. It's going to be like this or more intense in the future.
All right. Well, it's interesting stuff, and it's on tonight at 9 o'clock on PBS stations. Frank, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We've been speaking with Frank Cuen about his documentary Generation Like, which explores how advertisers use teens through social media to promote their products.